The Denver Broncos travel to Cleveland Browns in Thursday Night Football. Injuries across the board. This might be a little bit of a shit show, though. Jake, you got the Browns side of the ball. Your thoughts, what are you looking for?
I honestly have no idea. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's out of that game. No Kareem Hunt, no Nick Chubb. Both tackles are missing the game. Baker's missing the game. Odell Beckham is apparently dealing with a joint sprain, an AC joint sprain, so he might miss the game as well. So, like, I guess start Demetric Felton if you have him. Like, I did see a stat that in his last, it was either his last start or his last season when Keenan was actually playing, he targeted the slot like 53% of his throws.
Okay.
And Felton's playing out of the slot, it was like 71.3% of the time. So
nice.
There's a good chance that he ends up out there, especially since Landry's not going to be back. You're looking at like an offensive, a wide receiver trio of Donovan Peoples-Jones, Rashad Higgins, and Felton in the slot.
With Case Keenum throwing.
Yeah. Like, I guess start Felton, but realistically, start nobody. Like,
yeah.
Just avoid everybody on that team if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I was like trying to project some pieces of this game earlier, and I kind of gave up because like I don't even know what to think. But I do like the Felton call, like that stat you threw out there. Whenever you can get a wide receiver in a running back slot, like that's usually a win, especially in any type of PPR league. So I do like the call there. Dearness Johnson, I feel like it's just that time of year when all of a sudden he's a popular waiver ad. Obviously, yep. People are scarred from last year. You know, I think there's a world when he gets 12 to 15 touches. Like, is there any interest there for Dearness Johnson, especially with these bye weeks? Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, in standard leagues or leagues where you're just like, you and I were talking before the show, we have some teams where we have 6 to 9 guys on byes right now just because of how brutal it is, how many good teams, like good fantasy asset teams are on byes. Johnson, you know, you could do worse, honestly, especially with some of the guys I'm starting in some leagues. Like, you could definitely do worse, especially with it being a really bad weather game. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see them lean a little more heavily on the run. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, like you said, 12 to 15 touches for Johnson. He's not a world beater by any means, but, you know, if you're desperate, especially in standard leagues, like, there's no harm in starting him.
Broncos side of the ball, something I've been saying, and I think this is going to be the time when I like triple down at this point in time, but go buy Javonte Williams, especially if you have a winning record. If you're sitting at 6-0, 5-1, even 4-2, there's a very good chance that the person rostering Javonte Williams might be a bit frustrated with him, especially if that team that is rostering Javonte Williams, it has a losing record. He's looking explosive. He's currently top 5 in forced missed tackles. He's had 3 rushes of at least 30 yards in the last 3 games. And then just taking a look at the way that he finishes the schedule. So the hope with Javonte Williams, just to be clear here, is, you know, as we go down the stretch here, he starts to take over a little bit more from Melvin Gordon. So they kind of walk away from this 50-50 split. And maybe it turns like 60-40 or 65-35, right? He finishes the schedule. So the final 8 teams on Javonte Williams' schedule as of right now, 6 of those teams are in the bottom 12 rushing defenses. So it is a very juicy matchup for the Broncos running backs to finish out the season. And if for some reason Javonte Williams, and he should break away just a little bit. I'm not saying like Melvin Gordon's going to disappear, but if he can just get a little bit more of those touches, maybe a couple more targets, more of those snaps, you know, there is a world when he finishes the season as a top 12, top 15 back. So if you've got the juice, like I actually just did this the other day, I have a team that's 5-1. I went and trade Khalil Herbert for Javonte Williams straight up in a redraft league to a team that needed a running back really bad that's going to play this week. So I flipped Herbert for Javonte Williams, and I'm feeling really, really good about that because I can put Javonte Williams on my bench.
Yeah. Williams is a stud. I just watching the games, he's clearly been the superior back in every way to me. You know, if you look at Melvin Gordon's, some of his metrics are still in his favor, but it's the second you remove that 170-yard run, which is really his most explosive play of the year, his only really great play of the year. You know, I'm not the type of guy who's like, let's take away everything good that a player did and see how bad they are. Like, but it's truly been like the highlight of his season. You know, mm-hmm. If you're starting Melvin Gordon, you're not loving it. You know, maybe you are if your wide receivers are elite, but you're not happy with that kind of production out of, you know, your potential RB1, RB2 all the time. Williams, everything that was talked about him in camp, he's clearly the future in that team. I think it's a great sign that he's already gotten the kind of usage that he has early, because I thought they were just going to run Gordon into the ground this year and then let J. Will take it over next year. So I agree with you 100% there.
All right, y'all, you're tuning in to the Week 7 Preview, Fantasy Hot Read, part of the JWB Network. As always, we're streaming live here on the JWB YouTube channel, and this pod that you're listening to probably right now is going to be on the regular feed. Joined by a special guest here, one of our guys over here at JWB, we got Jake at Jake Perry 34. Jake, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Things are good, man. Week 7 flying by, the bye weeks are starting to crush, but makes things interesting. It separates the good teams from the bad teams, no doubt.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm got a few strugglers in there right now, so the bye weeks are hitting a little hard, but nothing we can't handle.
That's right, man. Washington football team at the Packers. Packers side of the ball, Jake.
Absolutely. If you have him, start Aaron Rodgers. People are still fading Aaron Rodgers for some godforsaken reasons. Yes, his week one was terrible. I think we can all admit that. You take that week out, he's a QB8 on the season from that point. Washington's defense is probably the most underperforming defense in football, based off of where everybody thought he was going to be. In a lot of leagues with defenses, they were one of the first defenses off the board in many situations, the first. So, you know, you have a highly underperforming team there, low pace offense comparatively. You know, I'm firing up Rodgers anywhere that I have him. I did just trade him in a league, but I have him in two others, and I fully confident running him out there. You know, over, you know, your typical guys, you're not going to start him over. You're not going to start him over Mahomes. You're not going to start him over probably Jalen Hurts at this point. But with Dak on a bye, with Herbert on a bye, like there's plenty of situations to get Rodgers in there. If you have him, you're starting him.
I mean, the Washington football team is allowing the most points to the quarterback and wide receivers position. So it is a blow-up week for Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, and you should expect big things.
Definitely.
Washington football side of the ball. So I want to talk a little bit about Antonio Gibson and more so his shin. It's not getting better. For those of you who aren't aware, he has a stress fracture in his shin. It's not as bad as it sounds, clearly, because he's been playing with it for 3 weeks, but he's missed practices for the last 3 weeks, and today is Wednesday, and he still has not practiced this week. It's clear they're managing his reps, but like I'm not a doctor, but there's a chance he lands on IR. There's a chance he misses some time, and at the very least, like, he's going to get his reps managed, as we've seen. Like, you know, just 8-9 weeks ago, we were talking about this guy getting like a possible CMC workload. Obviously, a pipe dream, but at the same time, like, if you have a stress fracture in your shin, like, how much work can you truly get in the game? With that said, JD McKissick needs to be rostered. He's only in 57% of Yahoo leagues right now, so he's definitely out there. I think, you know, this is a game when he can play him. It's been a bit up and down with him, but I have concerns with Gibson's health and managing that shin injury, that stress fracture. So I think there's a good reason to make sure that you get at least JD McKissick on. Like, he's a fine flex option in a pinch, but, you know, if Antonio Gibson were to miss time, there is an uptick, especially in targets for JD McKissick. And then it also brings me to the next point. If you're in a little bit of a deeper league, like 12, 14 person, maybe your bench is a little deeper, I would consider grabbing Jarrett Patterson at this point in time, because we know JD McKissick is not going to be the guy that's going to handle that load, especially on the ground. There's going to be some volume there for somebody, and it's been pretty clear that that is going to be Jarrett Patterson. You know, four or five weeks ago, like, nobody was picking up Khalil Herbert or something like that, and it could be a very similar situation. So JD McKissick, probably rostered, but go grab him if he's not there, and I really think Jarrett Patterson deserves a roster spot at this point in time.
Yeah, it sounds like there were some rumors today that they're getting a second opinion on Gibson's shin. So, you know, that never bodes well in any case. You know, Baker was getting a second opinion and now he's not playing. So, yeah, definitely. My disdain for JD McKissick as a football player is very well noted on my timeline. But I agree. You know, if Gibson is out, you absolutely have to do what you can to get him in that lineup. You know, we're, like you said, a true flex option, a guy who can get you, you know, 8 to 12 points a week in PPR leagues any given time. You know, we saw what happened last year with, you know, no real running game. When the running game wasn't working, they threw the ball to JD McKissick 12 to 15 times a game. There's no reason they can't repeat that, you know, if Gibson's not playing.
Chiefs at Titans. This one has an absolute ridiculous over under of 57.5 points at this point in time. It's one of the highest I can remember of late, which is absolutely crazy, but I think it just speaks to how good these offenses are and truly how terrible these defenses are. You got the Titans thoughts.
So I've seen the question enough on Twitter, and I can't believe I have to say this, but start AJ Brown. Like, there's so many people who are just like offering terrible options to be started over AJ Brown. And everybody's concerned. You know, he came out and said that he's, you know, they're limiting his snaps. If you watched any of that game on, was that Monday or Sunday? Yep. Days are blending together. If you watched that last game, if he wasn't on the field, they were running the ball. It was plain as day. You know, he played 82% of the snaps. He pulled 9 targets last week. Him and Tannehill are finally starting to get on the same page this year. That offense is starting to look a little bit better. You know, if you have, there's no wide receivers that I would be like that are sitting on your bench probably anyway, yep, that I'd start over AJ Brown. I can't believe I have to make this statement, but I've seen the question enough times, like Tim Patrick or AJ Brown. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like let's be real here. The dude is an elite talent, and I think if you look at it last year too, like he was out with injury in 2020, came back in week 5, and it was just wheels up pretty much for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Similar to this season, like he was out with an injury, had a good week 1, but then you know week 6 came back about 18 PPR points depending on your format. Like it could easily just be wheels up for AJ Brown as a top 6 wide receiver. You know, they're leaning on Henry a lot, as they should. I don't, you know, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, they can't keep giving Henry this many touches. Yes, they absolutely can. But at the end of the day, he is that weapon. Julio keeps getting banged up. He keeps missing practices. He's probably, unfortunately, going to keep missing some games. Even if he's playing, his reps are going to keep getting managed. Julio's a great talent, but he's definitely aged a bit. So, AJ Brown, I think, you know, throw it out there. Like, just go try to acquire. Like, there's some players out there that are absolutely killing it. Like, throw some trades his way, trying to get AJ Brown in your team, because he is an absolute difference maker rest of season if things, you know, go the way they should.
Yeah, and the Chiefs' defense is allowing over 7 yards a play. Like, just it's I think the worst in NFL history. I don't even think that's hyperbole. I think that's actually the case. Like, to date, the fact that they're giving up so many yards to teams. There's no other receiving options. Chester Rogers, he's not going to go off. Nick
Westbrook,
Akine Westbrook, he's not going to put up Julio like production there. The tight ends haven't done anything in that offense this year at all.
It's a platoon.
Yeah, it's if you have AJ Brown, get him in your lineups. He's probably going to go for like 7, 120 and 2 tugs.
Let's do it, man. I love the call. I absolutely love the call. Chiefs side of the ball, they're always a tough one to kind of like have a take on, you know, because they have a pretty narrow touch distribution at this point. And yep, you don't need me to tell you to start your Chiefs. Like, that's just the most obvious thing in the world. I think, like, if I were to take a little shot in the dark, it's Mecole Hardman. And I've gone on record for disliking Hardman. You know, they just, I don't know if it's something about him or the Chiefs just not using him, maybe not using him because he's really not that good, but he has seen, he has averaged a 65% snap share over the last 2 games. He's been that clear other wide receiver. He's also had 17 targets over the last 2 games. You know, although the utilization is on a rise, his A-dot has dropped to about the league average, which, you know, everyone thinks of him as just like a deep ball guy. So he's going to either boom or bust, but that kind of hasn't been the case because they've been using him more as like a regular ass wide receiver. I don't love him this week, but as we've mentioned before, there's some really rough buys. I think you could do worse for a guy that still can take one deep, you know, 57.5 points implied total in this game. It's Chiefs. It's Mahomes. You know, I'm not advocating for starting Hardman on most weeks, but in this week, if you're really hurting, I think he's got some wide receiver 4 value.
Yeah, it can never hurt to start a player that has Mahomes throwing them the ball when you have no other options. You know, if my options, Mecole Hardman or Adam Humphries, who's available in a ton of leagues too, like, I'm starting Hardman every chance that I get there.
Falcons at Dolphins. Should also be some points in this one as well. Dolphins.
I can't tell you a game I'm least excited for this week. But that being said, Jaylen Waddle is kind of the player to watch for me. Great game last week, 29 PPR points, 13 targets, 2 in the red zone as well. So it's not like they're just targeting him. And then the second they get to the red zone, he's a non-factor. You know, they're considering him there as well. I believe he's got 5 or 6 red zone targets on the season. Especially with Tua coming back, him and Tua seem to just have a really good connection. And it's something that definitely looking forward to. That being said, if I have, it's going to depend on your wide receiving core. You know, if you have AJ Brown, if you have Davante Adams, if you have Cooper Kupp, you're not going to start him over these guys. But you know, again, bipocalypse is upon us. You know, you're down your Deontay and your Claypool, you're down your Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. You know, there's a ton of wide receivers that, you know, really good wide receivers that are out this week. So there's no reason that I'm not starting Jaylen Waddle if I have him, especially in PPR formats where he's getting a ton of targets. You know, he's got, 13 targets in this last game. He had 13 targets a few weeks ago against Las Vegas. Like, he's getting plenty of targets, and that kind of volume is what you want in your lineups.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm saying about Waddle too is, you know, he came out of Bama is a bit of a deep threat, a guy that's a threat to take it to the house every time he touches the football. And we haven't yet to see that really this year where he's been able to do that. I mean, I know he has him in him. Like, you know, some days he's been living off the red zone, some days he's been living off volume. But I expected Waddle to be the kind of guy that's more of a deep threat, kind of like Fuller's been in the past. So, you know, at the same time, like, I'm with – there's upside. I remember us having a conversation with somebody after he had that – like ridiculous, like 13 target, 11 catch, 50-yard game. And I was like, yeah, like, what do you think about Waddle? Like, yeah, it's great, but I don't really see the upside. But I'm like, you know, if you watch him in college, like, he has the upside. Like, he has the ceiling. It's just not like – it hasn't really come together for him this year. Don't know exactly why, but I know it's there. I know he's possible of taking an absolute deep shot. So, love the Waddle call. I think he's absolutely in our lineups. And I do want to touch on, like, we know Fuller's out. But, you know, Devontae Parker – you know, there's been some rumors that the Dolphins might be trying to move him in terms of, like, you know, trade deadline, trying to move some guys. And I wouldn't be surprised, even if he was, like, trending towards healthy or possibly good play, that they hold him out in hopes that they might be able to move him in the future. So, interesting little tidbit there, but Waddle seems to be that dude.
Definitely, yeah. And he's not a guy who's getting these short targets like some wide receivers are, where they're just – they're catching the ball and they're dropping. You know, he's a guy who the second the ball is in his hands, he's a home run threat every single play. And like you said, we haven't seen that yet. It's bound to happen.
Falcon side of the ball. I know Cordarrelle Patterson has what it's like seventh or eighth year breakout, whatever you want to call it. Good for him. Love to see it. But Mike Davis, like, let's not forget about him. Again, we got to put the bye weeks out here. But he's had double-digit PPR points in every single week this year. Like, love to see that. His play time usually hovers around that, like, 60, 65% range. And, like, he's had at least 15 touches in every single game he's played this year. So it is consistent. It is good. And then I look at the Dolphins. The Dolphins are allowing the third most points to running backs. The Dolphins are not – the Dolphins' run defense is 19th in DVOA. 22nd in yards allowed per carry. It's just a really good matchup for a running back who might not be the best, but is getting consistent touches, consistent snaps, consistent work. You know, I would not be shocked to see Mike Davis find his way into the top 24 running backs this week. So with the buys, even without the buys, it's a good matchup. And, you know, I'm finding a way to get him in my lineups if I got him.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think I shouldn't say this because I said it a couple weeks ago and it keeps happening. I don't think Cordarrelle Patterson can keep up the pace that he's at, you know, And Mike Davis, they've, like you said, the consistent touches are just the most optimal thing, especially when you're looking at guys to plug in on a bye week. You're taking the guys who are getting potential volume or getting guaranteed volume, and he's basically getting guaranteed volume in this game. He's going to get 10-plus carries. He's going to get 4 to 5 targets. Like, again, a team that's giving up a ton of points to the position, you can't pass up that opportunity.
Jets, Pats. I wanted to talk about the games you're not looking forward to see. I think this one's at the top of my list, man, but you got the Patriots.
I am actually a little interested in this game because my co-host for my podcast, Kyle, him and I have a Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson bet that going on this year.
Okay,
so I'm interested to see it from that aspect. But yeah, there's nothing that I love.
Do you have Mac?
I have Mac on
that. Okay, that's the side I would go, but continue.
Yeah. So the kind of the take that I have for this game, which some people would probably agree for me, I'm going to sit my New England pass catchers, especially if I have better options there. Obviously, bye week, you maybe don't have that freedom. But the Jets are allowing the seventh least passing yards in football. They have the least passing touchdowns allowed in the league. And Mac Jones he's not a phenomenal quarterback. He's not going to beat you, especially with the way that this offense is set up for him this year. He's not being given the opportunity to beat people deep.
It's conservative. It's super conservative. Like, you're right, man. They don't give him the shot. It's one of the most conservative offenses I've watched.
Yeah, it feels reminiscent to not exactly the same stylistically, but a lot of what we saw last year with Washington and Alex Smith, like, mm-hmm. just designed quick throws, get the ball out of his hands, see what happens kind of thing. And with the Jets defense kind of surprising a lot of people, myself included, you know, they've got, I think their highest drafted defensive back is like the fifth round, and they're performing very well to this point in the season. And, you know, I'm going to avoid this matchup at all costs if I can.
Jets had the ball last time these two met week 2. They pretty much blanked Corey Davis. I'm not a huge Corey Davis fan this week. I'm looking for other options. But Braxton Berrios did go 7 for 73. This leads me to Jameson Crowder as a fine wide receiver 3 play in PPR leagues. Pats will try to limit any big plays, any big play opportunities, and Jameson could really eat up underneath on those short routes. The Pats defense is softer, weaker against the slot position. Elijah Moore, you know, like the talent, but he's definitely not a threat at this point in time because he seems to be the only guy that's going to thrive in the slot, and they seem pretty content with throwing Jameson Crowder out there as one of their top two wide receivers. So, again, not very sexy, but you know, Braxton Berrios goes 7 for 73, like a very similar line, maybe even a touchdown, because I have actually been looking Jameson Crowder's way a bit more in the red zone this year than expected. So I do like Jameson Crowder as a pretty safe floor wide receiver 3 PPR play this week.
Yeah, that's definitely, if I was to be targeting a Jets player to play, it's definitely Crowder. It was Crowder coming into the season for me. I've always been a huge fan of
his game
and what he can do. For better or for worse. I love that call. Yeah, Crowder, fire him up if you got him. Again, if your choices are Crowder or Adam Humphries or Hunter Renfrow or, you know, a lot of the guys that are available in a ton of leagues, give me the guy who's performed before over anyone else.
Panthers at the New York Football Giants. Giants, Jake.
Sterling Shepard, start him. This is probably the easiest call that I had on this entire show sheet. He's averaging over 10 targets a game when he's healthy. If you look at his 3 healthy games in PPR leagues, 24.3 points, 17.5 points, 17.6 points last week. Jones loves targeting the slot. He loves targeting Kadarius Toney, as we saw over the last couple weeks. And Shepard kind of just stepped right into that role. He's a guy that's going to continue to be targeted. He's a safety net for Daniel Jones. And this is a Panthers defense that is beatable. They've looked good. You know, on paper, they're probably one of the better defensive fronts or defensive back cores in football. But they're beatable. They're a team that you're not going to exploit them. Over the top, they're a little bit harder to beat on the deep ball from what I've seen. And a guy living in the slot like Shepard is going to be the way to go there. So that's my, you know, my easy go-to there. I'm also just hating the Giants offense as a whole right now. So I had to pick somebody, and I can't tell people to start Daniel Jones like I have to in a few leagues.
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal. This isn't a dynasty show, but Sterling Shepard is actually kind of one of my favorite if I'm contending, trying to go out and acquire Sterling Shepard, because I don't see this ending. Like, it is very clear that Daniel Jones trusts him. He goes to him all the time. There's health issues all over the place at this point in time. So, love the Sterling Shepard call. I mean, it's wide receiver 2 is not too bold to say at this point in time with Shepard, with the volume that he's seeing on that team.
Not at all.
Panther side of the ball, I know it's tough to trust Robbie Anderson at this point, but with these buys in this matchup, with his volume, you could do much worse. He's clearly their number 2 wide receiver. He's seen 29 targets over the last 3 weeks. Hasn't really turned it into anything, but like the volume is there, and I'm just a big fan of chasing volume. Terrace Marshall is still out with a concussion. He hasn't really done much, but he's been, you know, taking some targets away, taking some of those routes away. So at the end of the day, you know, Darnold has come back down to earth, needs CMC there, I think, to be really successful, but it's hard to ignore the volume of 29 targets over 3 weeks for Robbie Anderson. The Giants defense is pretty bad, especially against the pass. Like, it's just a bad defense overall. So Robbie Anderson, probably like no more than a wide receiver 4. I like him probably a little more than Mecole Hardman, but at the same time, in a pinch, he's like one of those preferred guys I would want to throw on my flex if I got a bunch of dudes on bye. So and he's probably on waivers at this point because he's been a huge disappointment for where he was drafted. So Robbie Anderson, though, I actually kind of like him as a play this week to get a nice deep touchdown against these Giants.
Yeah, definitely. He's 12th in the league in route participation. He's playing over 80% of the snaps. He's getting the targets. Yeah, they haven't turned into anything, but there comes a point where this volume just has to turn into something. And even if he still drops 3 balls like he did last week, like on 11 targets, if they're accurate enough, which as we've seen with Darnold, sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. And if we've seen plenty of times this year, if you've watched a lot of the film, that Anderson gets open deep and Darnold just doesn't even think about looking that way. So, you know, I think it's about the time that it comes around. Robbie Anderson's too good of a talent to stay this low for this long. And I think the breakout's coming, and what better team to break out against than the Giants?
Bengals at the Ravens. A little bit of a division game here. Ravens.
I'm sitting Hollywood Brown, which last week would have been a bold claim, but we've seen now that Bateman's healthy, Bateman kind of immediately assumed the alpha wide receiver role in that offense. Him and Mark Andrews led the team in targets there. Hollywood had took a back seat. Hollywood was already a guy who was only really fantasy relevant because he was getting deep targets. You know, he was busting coverage and just seemingly getting a deep touchdown a week, and then a little bit more. There was always, you know, the question mark of what happens when Bateman comes back, and I think that game kind of showed. It was a different style of game. It was a weird game kind of all throughout. Like, just watching it, I was like, what is going on? This doesn't feel like a Ravens football team that I'm watching. But, you know, I'm firing up Andrews and Bateman with full confidence, but I'm sitting Hollywood unless I don't have another option, which, as we've kind of stated with the bye weeks, that may be the case. But I'd feel more comfortable throwing Andrews or Bateman into my lineup at this point.
Do you rest the season Bateman over Hollywood?
100%.
I like the call. Bateman was my number two wide receiver behind Chase coming into this season. Sucks seeing him go down with that injury, but you know, I don't want to compare too much, but you know, Odell rookie season got hurt, came back around the midseason and absolutely tore it up. You know, I don't know if it's going to be to that degree, but I would not be surprised if we saw Bateman put up some like Hollywood numbers that we've seen in the first, you know, four or five games of the season. I just think he's that talented. Like, I think objectively, Bateman's a better prospect coming into the NFL than Odell was. Not to say he's going to have a similar success, but, you know, there's a lot of signs pointing that direction. The dude is real. Hollywood's dropped a lot of balls. I don't think Bateman's going to drop those balls. Like, I'm all in. So Bateman's, it might even be on your waiver wire at this point in time. So go out and check if Bateman's on your waiver wire. Like, he needs to be a preferred ad at this point because, like, the wide receiver two upside does exist, especially with the Ravens. You know, why? I guess it's not that wild considering the running back injuries, but just committing to the pass like we've never seen before with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, at least on Yahoo, Bateman is available in 72% of leagues. So he's probably available in your league. Go pick him up and stash him. I guarantee you have somebody you can drop. Drop your second defense. Drop your second kicker. If it's one quarterback, drop your second quarterback, unless your quarterback's like Dak or Herbert on a bye. Just get somebody out of your roster that's just clogging space anyway. Get Bateman. 22% target share in his first game on a limited snap count coming off of injury.
Yeah, come on. The signs are there. The signs are absolutely there. Bengals, Tyler Boyd might actually be the odd man out on this Bengals offense, which seems to be hellbent on being a run-first team, which doesn't make the most sense, but at the same time, like, it's what we've seen. There's a large enough sample size. Like, in games where Higgins is healthy and Chase and Boyd are all out there, Boyd's only had a 16.9% target share. It's not been good. Like, he has been that odd person out. Like, there was conversation about all three of them being usable, but that was also with this operating on the onus that the Bengals were going to be a fast pass heavy team, which is absolutely not what we've seen at all, which sucks for fantasy, but whatever. Last four meetings with the Ravens, Boyd has averaged 3.5 catches for about 27 yards a game. It's just a bad matchup for him. And then coupling the fact that his target share is down, the floor is all but gone with Tyler Boyd at this point. I'm not ready to say he's a drop because I think there's a lot of value there if Higgins gets banged up again or something happens to Chase. But at the same time, I'm keeping Tyler Boyd out of my lineups until further notice.
I agree wholeheartedly. Unless this Bengals D takes a major step back where they have to be a pass-heavy team again, they're running Mixon into the ground. He's, I believe, second in attempts, and that's with basically missing a game. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just the volume isn't there for a slot to truly be, you know, a consistently startable option there. You know, 16.9%, like, that's a great target share if you're a running back. But as a slot receiver in an NFL offense, that's not what you want to see.
No, especially at a slot when they dot so low, man. It's rough. Eagles at the Raiders. Raiders, talk to me.
I think we need to see it, and I think it's finally the Darren Waller bounce back week. Yes. It's crazy to say that he's still a tight end one and like we need a bounce back from him, but he's just not performing to the level that I think a lot of people were expecting him to this year. I think a lot of that has been kind of the emergence of Henry Ruggs being a more viable option and the offense just functioning a little bit differently prior
in week
to,
one in week
yeah,
one.
Yeah. The offense functioning a little bit differently. I think it will move. I think it'll function differently moving forward with Gruden out. I would, obviously you're not going to sit Darren Waller. You're never sitting Darren Waller. I don't care who you are. You're not throwing Dawson Knox or Dalton Schultz in your lineup over him. But this he's definitely a player to watch to me. If he can't come back against a bad Eagles team, like it's definitely a concern. There's just you know, we need to see him perform the way that his draft capital in fantasy says he should. And I think this is definitely the game where he can break back out and get that going again.
Love to hear it. Love the call. I agree. Eagles. The Raiders have given up the 6 most points to the tight end position on the year. Ertz is out of town. Rieger is all but dust, with the Eagles seeming committed to not using running backs. Dallas Goedert could carve out a nice role as a number 2 passing option here, along with Devonta Smith. Like, obviously, you know, Hurts is running like crazy. It's part of the reason why he's so successful in fantasy. But I think there is some room, especially in the red zone, for Goddard to carve a role out. Probably can't trade for him at this point because people who have Goddard are well aware Hurts is gone. But Goddard rest of season, top 10 tight end, not out of question. So big fan of Dallas Goddard's talent. Think he's a good tight end. Like, you know, you cannot make the fact that if Hurts is there, like, and he's not getting enough targets, is he that good? It's fair. But at the same time, the pathway to being a tight end one, or even a midline tight end one rest of the season, is there. So big fan of Goddard.
Yeah, I think his only real competition at the position at this point is Tyree Jackson, a converted quarterback, which, I mean, we've seen it seems like we see a ton of converted quarterbacks end up as tight ends anymore, and it seems to work out for a lot of them. But Goddard's going to get – I think you're going to see an uptick in his targets this year, and he's definitely the call there. Devonta Smith hasn't impressed me. Okay on him coming out of the draft, I guess. He was like my wide receiver 6 or 7.
Yeah, I warmed up a bit as the season went on, but yes.
Yeah, I warmed up a little bit as well, but just he hasn't performed the way that we want him to. And again, with just their no desire to get the running backs involved at all in that team, you know, Goddard's definitely the easy call there.
Lions at the Rams. Did you a favor, gave myself the Lions. Rams side of the ball, Jake.
Start Matthew Stafford, quarterback 9 to date. Plus, who doesn't love a good revenge game? I mean, come on.
It's a double revenge game at the quarterback position, man.
It's two quarterbacks who are literally traded for each other. What more can you want? But if you look at Matt Stafford this year, obviously he's been a consistently great quarterback for a few years now. But you just look at some of the metrics that he has this year, they're actually surprising to me. I wasn't expecting him to be so high. He's got the second highest yards per attempt. He's got the second highest adjusted yards per attempt, 4th most passing yards in the league, 8th most air yards, 5th most completed air yards, 6th most on the money throws. Like, he's the quarterback that we all knew he was for so many years, just with no supporting cast. And now that he has that cast around him, he's got one of the best zone beaters in football in Cooper Kupp. He's got a target that hasn't even really been used this year on the outside in Robert Woods. You know, Tyler Higbee, hate him or love him. He's a great football tight end. He's not the most he's not a Darren Waller type tight end by any means, but he's a very viable option. Daryl Henderson's impressed a ton.
Good
this
line.
Year.
Good line, good defense. It's nice to see, man.
Yeah, as a longtime fan of the team that he used to play for, you know, I'm sure that you
I love to see it.
Yeah, you just love to see the guy who gave so much to the franchise succeed, even if it is somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, but it wasn't happening on the Lions, that's for sure. So, and with that said, I'm rooting for always a Lions fan first, but clearly nothing's happening this season. So I'm rooting for the Rams and Stafford's success. He's just an easy guy to root for. Stayed here for probably 3 or 4 years longer than he should have. Lions, for the longest time, I've just been saying, you know, Swift, Hawk next. But Amon-Ra St. Brown's target count over the last 3 games has been 887. And the guys on the outside are just like kind of decoys in a sense, and they're just going to throw to Hockenson. But St. Brown is actually starting to carve out I don't know if it's a meaningful role, but at the same time, like, I think for probably the last 5 weeks, I've just been saying, like, there's no fantasy relevant wide receivers on the Lions, right? But I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is starting to be a bit fantasy relevant in PPR leagues, especially with Quintez Cephus going on IR, missing the season with a broken collarbone. The volume's there. We know the Lions are going to be losing. We know the Lions are going to be passing. Goff's not great. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, short passes underneath. Like, he could absolutely eat in some of these comebacks. So I think there is some appeal to Amon-Ra St. Brown as, like, a wide receiver 4 play in those PPR leagues. Like, you know, similar to, like, maybe a Jameson Crowder. I would prefer Jameson Crowder over St. Brown, but I think they're, you know, talked in a similar range of players in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I think it goes to show, you know, he started the season off with 10 carries through or 10 targets through 3 games. And like you said, 887, him and Goff are finally starting to get on the same page a little bit. That being said, he's getting a lot of short targets. You know, his ADOT's not great. He doesn't have a lot of air yards. But there's a connection there. And like you're saying, if you're looking for a flex option, a wide receiver four, depending on, you know, your league settings, you could do much worse.
Texans at the Cards. I did you another favor, give myself the Texans. You get the Cardinals. Thoughts?
I'll take it. So the player that I am most interested to see what happens here, it's DeAndre Hopkins. You know, we're talking about a guy who came into the year and many people were arguing him still being a kind of a top three wide receiver, even in Dynasty saying he's a top three option. And we just haven't seen that this year. He's got a 20.5% target share, which is 39th in the league.
Nice.
It's fine, but you were taking DeAndre Hopkins as wide receiver 5 or 6 off the board. Like, he's just the capital isn't matching, you know, what we're seeing so far. That being said, he's still produced very well. 26 points week one, 20 points each of the last 2 weeks. But he's not getting a ton of targets. He's doing this on a lot of touchdowns. He's got 6 touchdowns through 6 games. And the games that he hasn't scored touchdowns, 5 points and 10 points. The targets aren't there right now, and we need to see the targets come back in his favor a little bit to, I think, be as confident as possible with him. Mm-hmm. That being said, I do think he's potentially a buy as well. You know, maybe if there's another injury in this offense, if AJ Green can't stay healthy, if something happens to Rondale Moore, we'll see what kind of impact Ertz has on this offense as a passing team as a whole. But even if anything happens to Kyler, if Kyler gets banged up and has to miss some time, D-Hop's going to go kind of be the de facto number one target for any backup quarterback that comes into that team there. I think, you know, he's definitely a player to watch. Obviously, you're starting him if you have him, but I would be definitely tempted to buy him if the manager who's rostering him right now is a little off-put by him.
Yeah, it's a tough situation just because there is a lot of players to catch the ball, right? Christian Kirk's had a bit of a year three breakout at this point, came out of absolutely nowhere. Rondale Moore, like, he's the kind of guy you want to get the ball. Now they traded for Zach Ertz. Like, you know, I'm not hyped about him as a fantasy option, but if you're going to trade for him, you got to think he's going to be a bit involved. Like,
right,
you know, Max Williams had about a 10-11% target share before he went out. Similar thing could be coming to Ertz. So there's just not enough to always go around. I mean, Edmonds is catching some passes, but, you know, I'm with you at a decent point. If somebody's a bit frustrated, I think it's tough because he scored, what, 2 touchdowns last week. So acquiring him might be kind of tough at this point. But, you know, he's that dude. So I'm with you to some regard. Texans, it's start Brandon Cooks, fade the rest. We're moving on. Bears at Buccaneers. Bucks.
The number one option that I am firing up from this Bucks team is Chris Godwin. The Bears slot corner, Kendall Vidor, is one of the worst in football. He's got the highest, either highest or second highest passer rating allowed when targeted. He's the 89th ranked graded quarterback on PFF right here. He's absolutely terrible. Any Bears fan like myself will tell you that. He stinks. And Godwin has the third most snaps in football out of the slot. Brady's a guy who is going to target the open wide receiver. If you watch the games, he's not favoring any one target. The targets are being distributed fairly evenly, in my opinion. In fact, there was one drive where it was like he went Godwin, Evans, AB, Godwin, Evans. Like, it was, you know, the inverse of each other. Chris Godwin, he's got probably the best matchup to face coming in this year. Even the Bears' best corner, Jalen Johnson, he dropped down quite a bit in a lot of the rankings and mm-hmm. performance after this last week. So I'm starting Chris Godwin anywhere I have him.
I like the call, because if you can get the call right, especially in like DFS with these Bucks pass catchers, it's pretty easy money. So like the Godwin call, you know, kind of putting your foot down saying this is the guy this week. Bears, so the Bucks defense is probably one of the biggest pass funnels of recent memory. Teams are like legitimately just abandoning the run against this defense. Like, do I trust Nagy or Lazor at this point to realize this? I don't know. No offense, Jake, but I think you can agree with me on this one. If they do wise up and abandon the run, as they should, you know, this is a very big plus matchup for quarterbacks and pass catchers. The Bucs are allowing the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They're 27th in yards allowed per pass. It is time for Justin Fields to put up or shut up as a redraft asset. Absolutely still in on Fields in Dynasty, But this is like the last attempt where I'm like, you know, is Fields going to put it together in 2021? Am I going to feel good about it? Am I going to put him on my bench? Am I going to start him in my redraft leagues? You know, am I rolling Fields out this week? Likely not. And I think there's some better streamers out there. I've been burned already this year. I prefer like a Tua or a Matt Ryan, but I would not blame you if you're in a bit of a pinch. You have those you have a Dak or a Herbert, and you know, some of those waiver wire options already taken. Fields is sitting there. I would not talk you out of starting him this week, but we know that unfortunately for some wild reason, the floor is low.
Yeah, I think you have to, you definitely have to start Allen Robinson too, if you have him. Robinson has the 17th highest target share among wide receivers. And if this does turn into a very pass heavy offense for the Bears, the connection has kind of been there. You know, A-Rob dropped that touchdown in Fields' first game. They've had a couple, you know, free plays that have almost gone in the Bears' favor if A-Rob kept running up the field. You know, one of those is bound to connect, and we're bound to see the A-Rob breakout sooner or later. And why not get him and Fields against one of the best teams in football?
Yeah, man, I would absolutely love to see it. You would love to see it more. Colts at 49ers. Thoughts, 49ers?
So my first instinct was to tell you to sit Elijah Mitchell. The Colts' rush defense has been one of the best in football. They've only allowed one rushing touchdown to date. That being said, I need a hot take on this. I feel like I really need one. So I'm going to tell you to start Elijah Mitchell. We're talking about a Kyle Shanahan offense that has always preferred the run to the pass. Questions at the quarterback position, as always, have kind of been the case here. Kittle's going to miss the game. Ayuk has been non-existent this year. You know, Debo, can he keep up the pace? I personally think he can. Most people would probably say they don't think he can. I'm one of the weirdos who had Debo over Ayuk going into the season.
Love it, man. I did too for a bit there.
And I had Elijah Mitchell over Trey Sermon going into the season as well. I think Mitchell can be the guy who kind of breaks through against this Colts defense. All it takes with this 49ers front is just one good block. And the running backs that have speed in this offense can hit the hole, and you're going to get huge gains out of him. Mitchell's going to get the volume there as well. They're not giving carries to really anybody. They definitely aren't giving him to Trey Sermon because Kyle Juszczyk has outtouched him and outscored him every week in fantasy. The two have been active.
Sad, yes, but true.
So if you have Elijah Mitchell, again, with the bipocalypse going on and all of the injuries to running backs, I'm firing him up with confidence.
Love it, man. Colts side of the ball. Sorry, it's less of a take and more of like just an observation. But the return of T.Y. Hilton really muddied the waters for any Pittman breakout. Like last week, we saw a great Pittman game. And then T.Y. Hilton, at 32 years old, walks back in off an injury, and Pittman's target share drops to 17%, which, folks, that's not good. We want to see at least like in the mid-20s. While it's one sample size, it's just one game. Hilton was out there like running routes whenever there was a pass play. And if like Pittman can't like maintain a target share when 32-year-old T.Y. Hilton is out there, like what does that say for like Pittman being able to like actually break out? So I just have some concern with Pittman. I've never been a huge fan. Things were looking up, but if 32-year-old T.Y. Hilton can come back and take the targets away from him, it doesn't really say a lot. So, you know, if you got to start Pittman, you know, I'm not this week. Sure, fine, but it just does not bode well for Pittman going forward if this kind of situation has happened, and my optimism around Pittman is quite low.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there. Seeing T.Y. Hilton just come into the game and impress, and it didn't seem like Pittman really picked up more targets either after Paris Campbell left the game after his 75-yard touchdown.
It's some crazy, yeah,
hurts like his foot, comes out of the game, and Pittman's targets didn't even pick up then. Like, there's literally one less pass catcher in the offense. You're running on Zach Pascal and T.Y. Hilton, and you can't out target either of them. It's a disheartening situation if you're a Pittman fan, to say the least.
Saints at Seahawks, Monday Night Football. Could have been a decent game. Likely not going to be. Seahawks.
Bench your Seahawks pass catchers, except for DK. DK, I'm still going to be comfortable firing him up in pretty much any format, especially with the capital that you took him with. You know, you're taking him as probably one of the top 10. If you got him outside of the top 10 wide receivers in your league, let me in your league. But the Saints defense has the second lowest passer rating against them in all of football. They've been a good team. They've been consistent at kind of shutting the passes down. Will that change as much? If Russ was in this game, I would tell you to start everybody with confidence because Russ is a good quarterback. Geno Smith is not. He's fine as a backup. He's a great backup in the sense that he's not going to kill you. He's not a guy like a, what was it, Nathan Peterman came and started a game, or came into a game for sure, like five picks in a row. Yeah. He's not that level of bad, and you know, you definitely could do a lot worse, but Geno Smith's not winning you a game. He himself is not going to be able to win you a football game. DK, when he gets the ball in his hands, can win you a football game, as can Tyler Lockett, but Lockett wasn't really involved. Neither was DK wasn't really involved a ton in this game against the Steelers either. And the Steelers are an elite defense, but as we've seen, you know, with the stat that I just brought up, the Saints have been a really good defense against the pass this year too. So, you know, if I have other options there, I'm definitely considering getting Lockett and the tight ends out of my lineups.
I like the call, man. I've also been considering, probably not this week just because the bike apocalypse, but Lockett going forward is going to be a tough start. I mean, I think one of the most interesting and compelling things about Lockett is arguably Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett have one of the best kind of connections in all of the NFL in terms of just like knowing where they're going to be, running in the right spot, bailing your quarterback out when he needs to be bailed out. And it is absolutely incredible to watch. And he just doesn't have that chemistry with, you know, with Geno Smith. So it is a tough start. I don't hate the call. So I'm with you. Saints. Besides the Saints' defense special teams being an absolute smash spot, likely the top defense of the week, Marquez Callaway has seen double-digit PPR points in his last three games, averaged 16 points per game over the last three. You know, again, don't love it, but again, with the buys, I think he's a fine wide receiver four play. The Seahawks, you know, the pass volume on the Saints has not been great, but the matchup is. Seahawks pass defense is 24th DVOA, 28th in yards allowed per pass, and they allow the second most points to wide receivers through 6 weeks. So there is some flex appeal with Callaway. You know, it's been a bit of a disappointment. Last 3 weeks have been pretty solid. So I would fire up Marquez Callaway and expect for at least 15 points here on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, he's available in 60% of Yahoo leagues as well. So there's definitely, you know, there's definitely a chance that you can pick him up. And like we've talked about, you know, you're missing some of the top pass catchers in football this week. You know, you're down your Cooper's on a bye, Lamb's on a bye. You have your Pittsburgh receivers, your Chargers receivers. Like, there's tons of talent that's just not going to be an option there. And with you have a better than 50% chance of picking up Marquez Callaway in your league, I'm definitely starting him if he's available.
That's going to do it. Week 7 preview. Final thoughts, week 7, Jake.
I need a lot of wins, so if y'all could send some positive thoughts to my fantasy rosters, that'd be phenomenal. But otherwise, Tyler, thank you for letting me come on and talk football. It's always a blast, and I'm just looking forward to the games, man. Always looking forward for Sunday.
Jake, thanks so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here on the show. Real quick, you can plug the Twitter and plug the work.
Yeah, so at JakePerry34 is my Twitter. Give me a follow there for fantasy content and to see me just tweet about a bunch of random stuff. And then you should also follow and check out my podcast, which is called Two Average Husbands. It's with my best friend Kyle. We just get drunk and have a few conversations. And who doesn't like to, you know, just have a couple drinks with some buddies? So make sure you tune into us on Twitter. It's at @2AVGHusbands.
Love it, man. And of course, if you're listening to this right now, do us all a favor, go to YouTube, type in JWB Fantasy, and hit that subscribe button. I believe we're still a little bit short of 100 subscriptions gives us a custom URL. We've been trying to get to that 100 number for a while. So if you do us all a favor and hit that, you can find me on Twitter @FFTylerO. That's all we have today, folks. Don't forget, tell somebody you love them.